The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
How many of you have ever felt like you went through a time when you realized that your faith was weak? For me, that was this week. Coming into this week, I felt completely buried under my schedule. I was given 6 different shifts at Outback, where I'm a server. I have to work bivocationally. I had 3 messages to prepare for this week. One this morning, one tonight, one Wednesday. On Wednesday, we have discipleship that we do. I had meetings. I had all sorts of things that was going on this week. And I just felt overwhelmed by it. And I felt like, I can't do this. There's no way. And so I actually went to the Lord on Monday and I prayed and I said, Lord, you're going to have to open up time somewhere in my schedule. Like, I need more time than I have right now. And I felt like the Lord responded to me by saying, you don't need time, you just need me. And I know my faith was weak because I sat there and I thought, okay, yeah, Lord, I know I need you, obviously, like that makes sense. But I also need time somewhere because I've got all these messages I've got to prepare. And I kind of was like, but I still need time. And I felt like the Lord was like, you don't need time, you just need me. And then I felt like he was prompting, in my thoughts, I felt like he was prompting me to realize if he wanted to, he can give me the message for you guys today as I'm walking up the stage instantly. Like, if he wanted to, he could give it to me in one instant. It doesn't have to be, you know, days of research and thought and all this preparation and that kind of thing. And so I was thinking about that, and I felt like the Lord kind of pointed out to me, in this area, Josh, your faith is still kind of weak as far as your time. Because I often feel like I need more time than I have. And I felt like the Lord was showing me, there are other areas where I feel like my faith isn't as weak. I've been in a place before where I was extremely poor, had no money, and every single time I've been there, I felt like, you know what, the Lord's going to come through. Like, we serve the God who owns everything. He'll take care of my needs. And I feel like in those areas, maybe my faith isn't as weak, but the Lord is pointing out to me, as far as your time, Josh, your faith is still weak in this area. And so then I started to, so I was praying to the Lord about that, and I felt like he prompted me to read the story of the miraculous catch of fish. And I had no idea why he wanted me to read that story, but I felt like in my spirit I should read that. And so I opened up my Bible and I found it, and this is going to be the passage we're going to begin today. It's Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. And it says this. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge 2 boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So I felt like the Lord prompted me to read this passage on Monday. And I read it, and at first I didn't know why, but after reading it, it made so much sense to me. Here's a story where the disciples, they've worked all night long, you know, 8, 10, maybe 12, you know, however many hours, a long night of work on their own strength, and they had nothing to show for it. And then Jesus steps into their lives, and immediately, in one instant, There's this insane catch of fish, bigger than anything they've ever seen. You know, they probably could have worked 2 or 3 weeks every single day, and they wouldn't get this many fish. It was insane. It says the nets are tearing. It was so cool to me because I felt like the Lord was showing me in that. On your own strength, you can't do that much, Josh. But with me, you don't even need time, because for them, it was in an instant that he provided this miraculous catch of fish. And so I felt like it was, again, a confirmation, your faith is weak right here, Josh. And in a strange way, it was kind of comforting to hear that my faith was weak. And let me kind of explain that to you in a way. When I was a kid, I remember I would read Bible passages about the disciples. And I always thought, man, like the disciples, they've got some faith because they do miracles, they drive out demons, all these different things. And then I would read and Jesus would say to them all the time, your faith is weak. Or he would say, oh, you have little faith to them. And I remember as a kid being like, man, how discouraging if you were one of those disciples. Like you finally feel like you're starting to get somewhere. You finally feel like, yeah, my faith is starting to be a little stronger. And Jesus every time is like, no, your faith is weak. It's still weak. And looking back at that now, and after this week especially, this was the first time I felt like the Lord was saying to me, Josh, your faith is still weak in this area. And it was a comfort, though, to me. And the reason that it was a comfort is because I realized I haven't reached the end of what the Lord can do. I've just reached the end of my faith. Like, the Lord can do so much more than I even was thinking or imagining. It was just my faith that was holding me back. It was my faith that was weak. So I started to think about those disciples, and I was wondering, I wonder if it was a comfort to them every time when they went, man, we've driven out demons and healed the sick, and we've seen the dead raised, and you're telling us there's more? Like, our faith is still weak? And I think that in a strange way, that might have been cool, comforting to them, the idea, there's still further to go. Like, the well goes deeper. There's more to be done because the Lord, he has infinite power. The Lord is not bound by time. He's not bound by the laws of physics, by any created thing. The Lord is not bound by those things. Jesus said it this way. He said that faith the size of a mustard seed, which is the tiniest little like grain of sand sized seed that there is. He says faith that size, you can say to a mountain, uproot yourself and be thrown into the sea. And it obeys you. He said, basically, he was saying, you've scratched the surface of what you can do with the Lord when you can literally throw mountains with your words. And to me, that's an insane thing. The fact that, like, the power when we actually have faith in who God is. It was a strange comfort to me. But anyways, I want to get into this passage today because this is the passage we're reading as far as Simon here. Something that stood out to me when I was reading this passage this week, I had never really thought about this before, is how annoyed Simon must have been on this day. Because I was thinking about it, and here's a dude who he spent all night working, you know, like 10 hours that night or whatever, and he was doing hard work, manual labor. The nets that the fishermen used, they were massive, you know, like, I don't know, maybe 60 pounds dry, 100 pounds soaking wet. I don't know how heavy, but they were heavy nets. And what they would do is they would take that net and they would throw it out the side of the boat, and then they would drag it back up, and they would get the entire thing back up. And every time when Simon got it up, he looked and no fish. So he took it and he threw it back over the boat, and he would drag it back up. And again, the discouragement each time that he gets it up and there's still no catch. And they did this for hours that night, over and over and over again, throwing it out, dragging it up. He gets to the point where he's exhausted and he's done. You know, he's been out there all night. So they come in. It says that they're sitting on the shore and they're washing the algae or whatever off their nets. And while he's doing that, one of his buddies kind of prods him and he goes, hey, Jesus is sitting in your boat, Simon. Simon looks up and sure enough, Jesus is sitting there in his boat. So he picks up his net and he walks over there and he goes, hey, what's up, Jesus? And Jesus says, I was wondering if you could take me out. I want to speak to the people. And so he goes, yeah, sure. And he throws his net into the boat, has Jesus get inside, pushes it out into the water. You know, probably he's up to waist deep in water. He climbs up into it, rows him out to the lake. And Jesus sits there and he gives his message for, I don't know, a half hour, hour, 2 hours. And Peter is silent and patient through it. When he finally finishes, Peter starts to row back to the shore and he feels a hand on his shoulder. And Jesus says, hey, actually, Simon, I was wondering if you could take me out. I want to go a little deeper into the lake and I want you to put down your nets. And I can kind of just hear the groan in Simon's mind. And he looks at Jesus and he goes, Master, we've been out all night. We have been working hard all night and we haven't caught a thing. But he's looking at him and he goes, but you know what? Because it's you, yeah, sure, I'll let down the nets. So he has to row out there and he finally gets out to where it's at. And here's his clean nets that he just finished cleaning and they're all folded up or whatever. But he takes them and he throws them off the edge of the boat. And as soon as he does, there's a tug on it. And he kind of confused starts to try to pull it and he realizes he can't pull it up. And now the boat's starting to tilt in this direction. And he's like, man, this is a lot heavier than I thought it was. As he's trying to pull on it, it says that there's so many fish that have been caught in this net that it starts to tear. And he's looking at this and he's going, what in the world has happened here? And so he starts signaling to his friends back on the shore. I think they were probably so far out there that they couldn't hear them if Simon yelled, because it says that they had to signal. I don't know if that was like jumping up and down, waving his arms, or if it was like raising and lowering the sails. Somehow he signals to them like, you got to get out here. And so they see him out on the horizon. They go, something's happening. They don't, you know, the nets are under the water. They don't know that he's caught this huge thing of fish. They don't know what it is. They probably thought like Jesus fell overboard or something and he's drowning, or like the boat's sinking, or, you know, they have no idea what they're coming up on. But they're friends, so they jump in their boats and they row out to where Simon is. And as they get there, they see Peter is mid-miracle with all of these fish just tearing his nets. And so they realize, we got to help him. And so they start throwing the fish into their own boat and into his boat. It gets so many fish, it says both boats start to sink in the water. Now they've got a crisis on their hands because they're out in the deep waters of the lake and their boats are sinking. It's just this chaotic moment. And in the midst of it, Peter suddenly has this realization and he looks at Jesus and he goes, you knew this was going to happen. And it says that there's like this fear that kind of comes over him because he realizes, I'm dealing with someone who's more than human here. And he kind of takes a step back and it says he falls down on his knees before Jesus. And he just goes, you're going to have to leave me because I am a sinful man. In other words, like, whatever you are, I don't deserve to be in your presence. And it says that Jesus kind of has to calm him down. He says, hey, don't fear, Peter, don't fear. And he says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men, Peter. I love this story. To me, this is like such a cool story of the Lord's call of Peter for the first time. One second. Let me see. One thing that I was thinking about as I was reading it this time, and I never really thought about this before, was them signaling to their partners on the shore there. And how, like I said, the partners had no idea what they were coming to. And I was thinking about it as, you know, if you're there on the shore and you see him jumping up and down, freaking out in some way, like they probably thought, there's an emergency out there. So they jump in their boat and they're booking it to him as fast as they can. And I just imagine for the partners this knot that they have in their stomach as they're coming up to the boat. And I was thinking about that and the way that knot would suddenly turn into joy as they hear Peter laughing and they realize that they've been called to the scene of a miracle, not to the scene of any emergency, but to a miracle. And they get there and it's beyond anything that they imagined, and they're just blown away by this. And I was thinking about this in terms of We are all called to be fishers of men. That's what Jesus created us for. He created us to be saved and transformed ourselves, but also to call others into the kingdom. And something I think a lot of times we forget is we're calling people to a miracle. We're calling them to the scene of a miracle when we call them to Christ. There are some people who they think of evangelism and reaching people with the gospel as like this almost like chore. Like, yeah, I guess I should probably do that. But it's not like that. It is the we are calling people to the scene of a miracle. When somebody accepts Christ, your sins are forgiven. You're given eternal life for the rest of time with your Savior. Not only that, but the addictions and the sins that you've struggled against your entire life, the way that you've hurt your loved ones, the Lord transforms you completely, so that's not you anymore. The Lord begins to answer your prayers as you grow in faith. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You begin to see miracles take place in your own life. It says that if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all of our needs are going to be met. And we start to see just these crazy things start to happen. We are calling people to that, to the scene of a miracle. Kelly and I have been working with this guy named Mark, and we met him in April of this year when we moved down to Hartford. When we met him, he was not in a good place. He was addicted to heroin, did it every single day. He was a user of methamphetamine, cocaine, marijuana, basically every drug that you can imagine. He was doing it regularly. He was dealing heroin out of his apartment. And when we met him, he told us later, he said, you know, when I met you guys, I found out you guys were church planting, you guys were Christians. He said, I wanted nothing to do with you guys. He said, every time I saw you walk outside, I quickly ducked inside my apartment because I knew what you guys were about and it wasn't what I was about. This was a guy who we knew he was in a bad place, and so we just started praying to the Lord. We know God does miracles, and so we started praying, you know, change Mark. Please just reach him. Work in him by your Holy Spirit. And every time we saw him, we'd try to talk to him. He usually, like he said, ducked inside right away. But we'd try to talk to him. A couple months after meeting Mark, he was arrested. The police raided his apartment. And they found lots of heroin in there, enough to give him a felony dealing charge, and he was thrown in jail. While he was in jail, we started visiting him every single week for 2 months while he was in jail. And the entire time, he's coming to the day of his trial, and he was facing 18 years in prison was because he had a felony heroin charge, heroin dealing. And we started praying, Lord, we know he's facing this time. Please give him house arrest. He said, please give him house arrest because if he gets house arrest, there's a chance he could be saved and we can maybe disciple him. And so it was not likely to happen, and we knew it, but we started praying for this over and over. We were there the day of his trial, and the judge asked the corrections officer. The judge asked the corrections officer if she would recommend that he get house arrest or that he serve his prison time. And she said, prison time. I don't trust him on house arrest. But the judge still gave him house arrest. And so we rejoiced and we went, this is great. And we met him at the jail as he was being released. We were there before his family even. And we hugged him out in the parking lot. We said, Mark, you know, the Lord's given you an opportunity here. We said, the Lord has given you house arrest, but I think it's under the condition that you allow us to disciple you. And so we want every Wednesday to disciple you and teach you about who Jesus is. And Mark, he said, you know, I was praying when I was in prison, and he said, and I realized that if this happens, it's probably going to come with some conditions. And so he said, sure, I'll let you disciple me. And so we started meeting with him every single Wednesday, and we've met him with him every Wednesday since then. The very first Wednesday, he committed his life to Christ. He said, I need to change. And we have seen a complete transformation of this man from what he was. He now, every single Sunday, he's in church. Every Tuesday night, he has a Bible study he goes to. Every Wednesday, we disciple him. Literally, every single morning when he wakes up, he watches a sermon first thing in the morning. Because he's so hungry for the Word of God and to learn who Jesus is. And he's felt the draw of the Holy Spirit in his life. We have seen a complete transformation of Mark, and it's because Jesus is an expert fisher of men, and he had Mark in his sights. When Jesus called Mark, he called him to the scene of a miracle. And that's what we've seen happen in Mark's life. And so Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and all of them, they're here at this time. Sorry. Find where I'm at. Okay. They're here, and they're surrounding this miracle. And the word that it says in your translation here is it says that they're astonished by what the Lord has done. And something that was really interesting is I looked up that word in the Greek, and I'm going to be that pastor for a second. In the original Greek, that word astonished, it has a different translation. What it literally means is to be surrounded by something or to be contained within something. That was a little strange to me. And so I looked up other definitions that said hemmed in or encircled or all these different, basically being contained within something. And that was strange to me that they translated astonished here. But to me, it was really cool because it's kind of a wordplay. It's kind of like a double meaning here because they were absolutely astonished by what's going on around them. But in my mind, I like to think of it as also they were contained within the net of Jesus. Because Jesus, as an expert fisherman, he used this moment to catch Peter and James and John and Andrew. And this is their call to be disciples right here. And Jesus is the expert fisherman, and he used this miracle and they were thoroughly caught. These men, every single moment from this day forward, their entire lives, they devote to Jesus and to the advancement of the kingdom. From this point forward, they are thoroughly caught in Jesus's net. And to me, that's insane. And the Lord takes them and he makes them into fishers of men themselves. I love that it says, you know, they have this huge, massive haul of fish, bigger than anything they've ever seen. And they're fishermen. Like, this means they're rich, right? Like, this is a big deal because this is their livelihood. But it says that they take the boat, they drag it into shore, and they drag the nets and everything up to shore. And then it says they leave everything and they follow Jesus. In other words, they leave the fish just flopping in the sand and they walk away from it. They don't even care. To me, that's insane. It'd be like if the Lord like made $10,000 appear out of thin air into your hands, and you were so blown away by the miracle that you just kind of threw it in the gutter and followed after Jesus. That's basically the equivalent of what happened for them here. But in a way, that's kind of smart. Because if you meet a guy who can make $10,000 appear anytime he wants, you know, forget the money, follow that guy, right? We serve a God who does miracles, you guys. The God who did this is the God that we serve. He is not bound by time. He's not bound by physics. He's not bound by any created thing. There is nothing that contains our God. The Bible says that there is nothing impossible with our God. And so if you haven't seen him working powerfully in your life, it's not that you serve a small God. It's that your faith is weak. But that's okay, because faith can be increased. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Peter had no idea the kinds of miracles that he would see Jesus do in his boat here, let's say, just in that. You know, here's the first miraculous catch of fish. There's another one after Jesus is resurrected. He has a second miraculous catch of fish. Someday in the future, Peter is going to see Jesus walk across the same lake on the surface of the waters. And Peter himself is going to climb out of his boat and he's going to walk across the surface of the waters himself. Peter is going to see Jesus with a single word calm the storms and the wind and the waves, and it like that just goes completely flat. Peter, outside of this boat, he's going to see blind men see again. He's going to see the lame walk. He's going to see dead men raised. He's going to see Jesus himself raise himself from the dead. Peter sees his own life transformed. Peter's going to see his own mother-in-law healed. I mean, all sorts of insane things are going to happen in Peter's life. But it all starts right here on a day when Peter is tired and he's annoyed and he's just kind of wanting to go home. But he looks at Jesus and says, "You know what? Because it's you, Jesus, I'll let down my nets." And I really hope that we become the type of people that we would look Jesus in the eye and we would say, "Lord, I'm tired and I don't feel like doing this, but because it's you, I'm going to obey." And the more that we learn to do that, be obedient to Jesus because he's Jesus and for no other reason, the more that we learn to do that, we will see our own lives transformed. We are all called to be fishers of men, to reach people with this gospel, this good news of who Jesus is. And you are going to, when you reach people with that, you are calling people to the scene of a miracle. And you are going to see other people's lives transformed before you and your own life transformed before you. And it's my hope and my prayer that the Lord will increase all of our faith as it happens. That's what I have for us today. Kelly and I are going to be up here afterwards. If any of you guys would like to talk to us, if you have any questions or anything that you're thinking about, I want to say this just because I know it's a possibility. It's possible that the Lord is stirring in someone's heart today, and the Lord would say to you, "You are the companions on the shore, and I'm calling you to help them haul in the nets." It's possible the Lord would say to somebody in this congregation, "We meet right now at Sunday nights. We don't meet Sunday mornings, so you could still be here as well as help us." It's possible for somebody, even one person in this congregation, the Lord would say, "I want you to go help them haul in nets in Hartford City. I want you to take part in that." If that's you, I would say, please be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Come up and talk to us. We can work through if that's what the Lord is saying to you. And maybe it's possible for some of you, you would say, "You know what, I know I'm probably not going to be hauling nets in Hartford, but I would like to support you guys in some way." And if that's the case, then, you know, we would love to talk to you guys and we would love to be able to open up that conversation. But I'm going to pray real quick and then I think we have one more closing song and then we'll be dismissed after that. Lord, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to be with this congregation. Lord, we are the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we are going to see miracles that take place because we're paired with you. And so I ask in Jesus' name that you will increase our faith. Please give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, because you said if we have that hunger and thirst, we will be filled, Lord. Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name that you will work powerfully in us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that our message, as we reach people with the gospel, that it won't come with words of human wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, that we will see you work in ways that we never could have imagined. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for being the kind of God that you are, the kind of God who is not bound by anything, the kind of God that we can see miracles from. We just ask in Jesus' name that you will continue to work in our own lives and in the lives of the people we love. We just ask all of this in Jesus' name, according to the will of the Father. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.